Okay, happy Sabbath day, everybody. Glad to be here. Know you all are. I feel like I'm back among the working right now with some of the stuff I'm doing here around the house, so I need the rest as well. And I know you guys are very happy when the Sabbath comes around and gives you that day of rest. So, tonight's lesson is one that we did approximately 3 years ago, perhaps a little bit more than 3 years ago. But it's still a very relevant subject because, believe it or not, there's a lot of different teachings on the subject of the Comforter. And I don't know if I put this together to try to prove one group right or one group wrong. I don't think so. It was just something that I felt strongly about the way I presented it. And so I thought it was a good time to repeat it this week. And I may have changed up a couple of things, particularly the ending and some other things. But I think it's a very relevant subject because it is obvious that Elohim designed a plan that from the beginning created, what, man and woman to live on this earth. And he did so, or they did so, in a manner of duality, developed over a long period of time, both physically and spiritually. Now, this development began with a physical emphasis that was meant to lead towards a spiritual emphasis that over that time period would ultimately result in man and woman becoming a part of Elohim's spiritual family. So we all know that. I'm happy about that. I'm happy that we know about that, right? And when we look back on this plan, Elohim founded a nation, we know this too, to showcase this plan and show the world their goodness and gradually include other nations into their showcase. We know that this nation, Israel, was created for this purpose. Just as man and woman were given their commissions and their commandments to follow, so was the nation of Israel. Yet, we all know the story. Israel struggled to uphold this part of the covenant it made with Elohim. Now, as we have studied man and woman over the years, one thing rings, it continues to be true. From the beginning of man, even to this day, Elohim has known that man and woman could not overcome the efforts of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil without help from above. And a part of this overcoming has been made even more difficult because, as I said earlier, even within the household of faith, the knowledge of the true identity of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has been misidentified. There have been strong men and women who have factored mightily in man's progress, yet without assistance, their progress could not have grown according to the established plan. So even today, as we count the cost in our individual as well as our collective lives as called out ones, we alone cannot withstand the desire of that tree to devour each of us. We constantly have need of assistance, and so this is why we will once again discuss lesson number 156, the Comforter, from Yahweh to Yahshua. Now, over the years, you all know I use the nouns Elohim and Yahweh. It may seem to some that I use these nouns interchangeably, and this really is not the case. So let's make sure we're all on the same page. So in the beginning, there was Elohim. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So for most of us here tonight, this is just sort of some little reminders for us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's how the King James reads, and probably most other versions. And we know that this word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. meaning more than one deity. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. This, again, is Elohim. So we know now that when we see the word God in the Old Covenant, it is consistent. It is Elohim. So look at verse 6. And Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Let's go to verse 9. And Elohim said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 14. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, which we know are appointed times, and for days and years. Verse 21, and Elohim created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good, and Elohim blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. Now notice here how that when these animals were created, they were blessed by Elohim and given their commission, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 24, and Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of earth after his kind, and it was so. Now, in each of these scriptures, we see Elohim molding the clay of creation in various forms to inhabit the prized creation of the universe, the earth. Now, Elohim is ready to create the prized earthly molding, and in doing so, Elohim begins to reveal something about himself, or I could say themselves, as we will find out. I say himself because the word Elohim is presented in a male tense. Look at verse 26, chapter 1, verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So Elohim created man in his image. In the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. Now notice how his creation took on a different tone. Elohim now informs us that he is actually made up of more than one potters, more than one creators. And these creators created man in their image. Elohim also tells us in a very subtle manner that there are two creators. This prized creation, the earth, was created on the principle of duality. Notice in verse 27, he created the man in his image, yet he created them male and female too, to showcase the ultimate spiritual image he desired man and woman to obtain from the beginning. So, we see they were establishing this most important principle right from the beginning. Now, we fast forward to the end of the story. We know what's there. The beginning is clearly manifested. So, let's go to Revelations 22 and verse 1. Revelations 22 and verse 1. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 3, it looks like. And we're studying lesson 156, the Comforter, from Yahweh to Yahshua. Revelation 22 and 1, where it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Notice there is only one throne, the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. in essence, the throne of Elohim. This is Elohim, two spiritual entities who together created this great universe that includes the earth. How difficult mankind has made such simplicity. Now let's go and I'll understand. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Pick it up at verse 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to pick it up at verse 2. And I'm going to read down through verse 9. Genesis chapter 2 and 2, where it says, on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which Elohim created and made. So we see this spiritual duo continuing in his creation, creating the seventh day, which would help frame the plan made for man. Verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that Yahweh, Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. Now all of a sudden, Elohim presents himself in a little differently. He is now Yahweh Elohim. And if you remember, a careful study of this rendering should be Yahweh of Elohim. And notice how Yahweh of Elohim presents himself. Look at verse 5. And every plant of the field before was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. But Yahweh Elohim had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground when he did that. Verse 7, and Yahweh of Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Yahweh of Elohim planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh of Elohim to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He put the two special trees in the garden. Very interesting, isn't it? Within these verses, we can see that Yahweh of Elohim presents himself as the one who actually performed the creation of the earth and all its inhabitants. Why did Elohim choose to very early on inform those of us who accept his word about Yahweh? One reason is that the rest of the word presented to mankind is based on the relationship between Elohim and man. And as we have grown to understand more of the knowledge given, Elohim's plan was for only one of the two of them to be presented to man. And as such, within the concept of duality, the principle of oneness is maintained, a principle based upon total unity and trust between two or more entities. First, Elohim the family. Secondly, man and woman. And third, and even more importantly, those who would eventually believe in and trust in them. If man, over the time of the carrying out of this plan, could grasp this concept of unity and trust, he could grow towards the spiritual oneness that was desired from the very beginning. Once Yahweh of Elohim was presented, Yahweh could proceed with the plan. Look at chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 1. Genesis 4 and verse 1. Genesis 4 and verses 1 through 12, it appears. Put a little jumping around in the midst of it. Genesis 4 and verse 1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. Now, after informing us that it was the member of the Elohim family presented as Yahweh of Elohim that actually carried out Elohim's creation, for the first time we see only Yahweh alone dealing with man. The word Lord in all caps is Yahweh, commonly called Jehovah in modernity. Verse 3, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. So it's obviously that Noah and his family, they knew about Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 6. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 9. And Yahweh said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. That is a phrase that truly has been repeated a few billion times over the years, hasn't it? And he said, what hast thou done? Now we know Yahweh knew what had happened. He said, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. So you see, he asked the question, but he already knew. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. So, right from the beginning, we see how Elohim was presented as they would be presented to the end, as two operating as one, and then by design, one of the two beings to carry out their plan of creation, and even having conversations with man. As we have proceeded in our growth and understanding this plan, we know that Yahweh eventually became flesh in order to die for the prized creation of Elohim. Why? Because man and woman seem to never be able to carry out their commissions on their own. On their own, they constantly fail and continue to fail. Yes, we do. Now, whether this was in the original plan or not, I do not know. What I do know is that when Yahweh became flesh, he began to enlighten us to who Elohim was. Look at Yochanan chapter 1 and verse 1. John or Yochanan 1 and 1. And very familiar with these verses. I'm going to read down to verse 5 and then skip to 10. Yochanan chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim. And the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, we need to understand this term, word. It is translated from the Greek word logos, which means spokesperson. And equally as important, it is taken from the Greek word lego. They're in the same family together, which means to lay forth or set discourse. So this implies that he, Yahweh, now known as Yahshua, was in charge of overseeing the plan of Elohim as both the spokesperson and also the one who would lay it forth and set it in motion. It is he who delivered the plan to man from the beginning. Look at verse 10 of Yochanan chapter 1. He was in the earth, in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. The Apostle John, or Yochanan, was chosen to present this process. To present Yahweh, who under the new covenant came to man as Yahshua. And as the apostle presented this process to us, we read something very interesting. Look at verse 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yahshua HaMashiach. No man hath seen Elohim at any time. the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared. Now, this is an interesting verse here. This is not in my notes, but if you're in the King James Version, the word him here is in italics. Let's take the him out and read this again. No man has seen Elohim at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared. To me, if you're going to add a word right there, it probably should be he has declared it. Because Yochanan wouldn't know this on his own. He only knows it because Yahshua told him so. And I don't know if we're going to read that tonight, but we know that that is also in the book of Yochanan. So I think if you look at that, you'll see the him right there is a little bit off. I think what he's telling us is that Yahshua, as he declared it, that no man has seen Elohim at any time, but the only begotten Son. We can talk about it. Anybody has a comment on that? Here we see Moses being presented as being a major, major person of interest. By implication here, whatever Moses gave men the law, and it was a major part of the plan, that is, until Yahweh as Yahshua, a Mashiach, showed up to give man grace and truth. I don't know about you, but this says to me that something was missing in the law given by Moses. If Yahweh had to come and provide man with both grace and truth. But remember, grace was around in the old covenant. But it says he had to come and give both grace and truth. The Apostle Yochanan also said in verse 18 that no man had seen Elohim at any time except for Yahshua. By Elohim, he is talking about that member of Elohim that is only spoken of in a few places in the Old Covenant, but presented as the Father in the New Covenant. Over to Yochanan chapter 3 and verse 12. Yochanan 3 and 12. We're going to skip around a little bit. Yochanan 3 and verse 12, where it says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man have descended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Notice how Yahshua begins to teach truths that the old covenant did not make clear. From Adam to now, no man or woman has gone up to heaven. Verse 13 informs us that he, now the Son of Man, came down from heaven. Verse 16. But Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But Elohim sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When HaMashiach was presented to Israel, their non-acceptance of him showed they didn't think they needed his help. Why? Because they had Moses. And I wonder, has this changed in modernity? Thankfully, he knew better. And because Elohim knew this, one of them had to intercede on man's behalf. Chapter 5 and verse 37. Chapter 5 and verse 37. And this is why earlier I said what I said about Yahshua declaring it, because look at this. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. That's him declaring it. Remember, from Adam and Cain until today, man has only spoke to and seen Yahweh. Now, Yahshua. When I recently asked a leadership group of the Church of God International, who did Moses and the prophets speak to and get the directions from? The only response was God. I sometimes wonder, is the leadership of these various groups within the household of faith studying for themselves or simply flowing along with whatever their individual group hierarchy is teaching? That being said, let's look at the first mention of a comforter in Elohim's word. We love to quote the man considered to be the wisest man to ever live, Solomon, right? So let's go look at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 1. One verse right there. And look what he says. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed. And they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors, power. But they had no comforter. In this age of the coronavirus and governmental corruption, where is the comforter? Now, let's look back to see what led Solomon to say this. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 1, and we're going to skip around in this chapter. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, where it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 9, what profit has he that worketh in that within he laboreth? What profit is it? Verse 16, and moreover I saw under the sun the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. And I said in my heart, Elohim shall judge the righteous and the wicked. But there's a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that Elohim might manifest them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Verse 19. But that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Every one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence over a beast, for all is vanity. Mm-hmm. All go into one place, all are in the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works. For that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? So we see that Solomon was bemoaning man's physical presence and vanity when he spoke of a comforter. A Hebrew word, makam, M-A-C-H-A-M, I don't know if I included that or not, which means to sigh or to feel sorrow or pity or to avenge. Both the Complete Jewish Bible and the NASB present the verse as follows. Look at, I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1 from this version. Then I looked again at all the acts of oppression which were being done under the sun, and I behold the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. And on the side of the oppressors was power, but they had no one to comfort them. So this word comforter is in the Old Covenant two other times. And guess what? Solomon, again, is involved. Lamentations. Chapter 1 and verse 9, Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 9, where it reads, her filthiness is in her skirt. She remembers not her last end, therefore she came down wonderfully, and she had no comforter. O Yahweh, behold my affliction, for the enemy has magnified. We read how that Yahweh was sought out to comfort this affliction. Look at verse 16. For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy has prevailed. As we read these verses today, we must wonder, was this a prophecy of the conditions to befall the children of Israel in modernity? This week, and I was talking to Brother Gary about this earlier, I heard a lesson by the European leadership of the CCI on the birthright, where they focused only on what they perceived to be the birthright promises to Israel given to the two sons of Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. And, of course, by their interpretation, only the United States and Great Britain could possibly fulfill these promises of wealth and materialism. Again, this teaches me that these groups failed to study the full package of the part we have been given, because they failed to acknowledge that Yosef and his two sons are included with all the children of Israel in that they broke their covenant with Yahweh and were sent into captivity amongst the nations of the world where they would not become a nation of wealth. If we, as the household of faith, are being led by Yahweh, we must include all that he has set forth into our conclusion. So, in the first uses of the word comforter, we see the concept of needing to be comforted or needing someone to have pity on. Now, in the first chapter of Yochanan, verse 17, we read that the law was given by Moses. This language puts Moses in a very, very lofty place before Elohim. Now, there are some who teach that Moses was the first intercessor. Why am I missing this, you might ask? Well, the concept of comforter is all about an intercessor. Let's return to see something in Genesis, the fourth chapter. Go back to Genesis. Chapter 4, pick it up at verse 13. Genesis 4 and 13, where it reads, "And Cain said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass. Everyone that findeth me shall slay me." So we find Yahweh punishing Cain for slaying his brother. Yet Cain was disturbed because he would now be driven out and away from the presence of Yahweh. It is safe to say he was in discomfort. Verse 15, "And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Here with Cain, we see another aspect of Yahweh. He comforted Cain, and perhaps even more importantly, became Cain's protector. This is the first indication of his role as a comforter to man. Yahweh comforted Cain and interceded on his behalf. Look at verse 25. "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enoch." And notice this. "Then began men to call upon the name of Yahweh." Why would men begin to call upon the name of Yahweh? Mankind obviously developed a relationship with Yahweh. Yet, when mankind is in need, it always seeks a comforter, an intercessor. However, ultimately, mankind seems to always forget the requirements needed to maintain this relationship. Go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6 and verses 5 through 8. Genesis 6, 5 through 8. "And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, rather, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. Are we starting to get back to that point today in modernity? Verse 6, and it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Go to chapter 7 and verse 1. Chapter 7 and verse 1. One verse. And Yahweh said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Then came the flood and a reset of the plan. However, with Noah, Yahweh saw righteousness and interceded on the behalf of Noah and his family. So from the beginning, we see that Yahweh was the first comforter and intercessor man ever knew. After Noah's descendants repopulated the earth, it was time for Elohim to implement the key act of their plan, Yisrael. But this began with Abram. Go to chapter 12 of Genesis. Pick it up at verse 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3, and we're going to jump. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now Yahweh had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Yahweh interceded on Abram's behalf, first promising to make of him a great nation. And we should remember how we read that Abram had his wife tell Pharaoh she was his sister in fear for his life. And look at verse 17. And Yahweh plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plague because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Yahweh interceded for Abram. I want us to understand that Yahweh has always served a role as comforter and intercessor to his servants and mankind, beginning with Cain. Now, just as the apostle Yochanan in the New Covenant provided a greater understanding of Elohim, the New Covenant expands in our understanding of the concept of the Comforter. Let's carefully look at Yahshua's words to his disciples prior to his returning to Father Elohim in heaven. So let's go to Yochanan chapter 14 and verse 6. Yochanan 14 and verse 16, rather. Yochanan 14 and verse 16 through 18. Yochanan, John 14, 16, where he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So we know who the first comforter was, right? But here he says, I'm going to pray to the Father. Now, this is the first mention of a comforter in the New Covenant. Where he's saying, I'm going to pray for him. He'll give you another comforter. And as is much of how the New Covenant was presented to mankind, it incorporated obvious changes. This word comforter is translated from the Greek word parakletos. Perhaps you've heard it before, parakletos. A lot of Sunday ministers like to use that term, parakletos, which means consoler, intercessor, or advocate. And notice here that Yahshua says he will pray the Father give them, his disciples, another comforter or another intercessor or another advocate. Now, this strongly suggests that they previously had a different comforter than the one he is now promising to them. Don't you agree? Who was these disciples' first comforter? Who interceded for them? I believe if we all take a step back and open our minds and our thoughts, we can see that Yahshua was the comforter to his disciples. We also know that Yahshua is Yahweh in the flesh. And to this end, we have now read where Yahweh was the original comforter of mankind. Yochanan continues in his teaching, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. So this another comforter is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Now, this verse must be read very carefully to fully comprehend what we are being instructed. Often, when we see the word spirit, we perceive of some non-earthly entity. However, let's understand the total and dual context of what is being presented here. What is the Spirit of truth? Now, there are three other verses where this phrase, Spirit of truth, occurs in Scripture. However, before we read these, we need to consider the next verse after verse 17. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yahshua makes a very strong statement here, which many within the household of faith use to conclude that Yahshua himself is the comforter whom he prayed for the Father to send to his disciples. And we are reading how the disciples will not be left comfortless. Why? Because Yahshua said he would come to them. Well, here again, it's where too many are failing to consider the entire part we have been given. Go to Yochanan 15, verse 26. Now, we've already read what he said. I'm going to send, pray that you get another comforter, right? Look at what it says in verse 26. But when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall do what? Testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So Yahshua continues this dialogue by saying, when the Parakletos, the intercessor and comforter, is come, sent by Yahshua from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he or it shall testify of only Yahshua. Interesting words here. What else do we see that testify of Yahshua? Go back to chapter 5 and verse 39 of Yochanan, where it says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Here he is talking about the old covenant scriptures which testified of him. So in the future, the Spirit of truth would testify of him also, except now as Yahshua rather than as Yahweh. Let's look at the next example of this phrase, also in the book of Yochanan. We talk about the phrase Spirit of truth. Chapter 16 and verse 12. 16:12. I'm going to read down through verse 15. Yochanan 16 and 12, where it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. You know, that's kind of has happened to me several times since I began to really look into this book. I've got friends who say they're Christians, and they've told me, several have told me in the past, Donald, I know you're right. I'm just not ready to deal with it now. I don't know if that's quite the same thing, but it's an interesting phenomenon. Here he says, they cannot bear them now. That person was telling me that they couldn't bear them at that point in time. Interesting. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. Brothers and sisters in the faith, if we truly seek to identify who or what this Spirit of truth is in faith, also known as the Comforter, also known as the Holy Spirit of the New Covenant, we must incorporate these words from the mouth of Yahshua himself into our understanding of this most important spiritual equation. Yahshua told his disciples that there were other things he wanted to share with them, but at that time they couldn't handle it. Yet once the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide them into all truth, speaking not of himself. Well, if he didn't speak of himself, we know that the Spirit of truth speaks of Yahshua. But whatsoever he hears, and will show them things to come. Is there a need for me or anyone else to interpret these words from Yahweh of Elohim? Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me. Well, he's not going to speak of himself, but he's going to glorify HaMashiach. For he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. This Spirit of truth will glorify Yahshua and take of mine, Yahshua's, which is simply another way of saying, take from me and shew it or give it to the disciples. Is this not bringing to the household of faith a clearer understanding of this spirit of truth? That is, if we're being led by the Spirit of truth. The final instance of this phrase is also from Yochanan, one of those disciples of whom Yahshua prayed to Father Elohim about just prior to his becoming our Passover for those who would believe on him through their words. Remember? Well, let's go to First Yochanan, chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Yochanan chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 6 and then we're going to jump. Well, actually, we're just going to read through verse 6. Then we're going to read Yochanan. Now we're going to read 1 Yochanan 4:1-6. And where it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of Elohim. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So try them. Hereby know ye the spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesseth that Yahshua HaMashiach has come in the flesh is of Elohim. Now that's an interesting phrase. We're going to talk about that in a second. And every spirit that confesseth not that Yahshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is not of Elohim. And this is that of anti-HaMashiach. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. It's certainly here now, isn't it? Ye are of Elohim, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of Elohim. He that knoweth Elohim heareth us. He that is not of Elohim heareth not us. Hereby know we that Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, how powerful is this? And again, I urge us to remember the duality of Elohim's word. There are various kinds of spirits. We now know that Elohim is two spiritual beings presented in a concept of one unit. The spirit of truth that confesses that Yahshua HaMashiach has come in the flesh as Elohim also must teach us that Yahshua was Yahweh before he could come in the flesh as Yahshua. And having this spirit within us, we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is how we know that we're being led by the Spirit of truth. Think about all that we have read thus far in this lesson. All of this is a part of learning how that Yahshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh as of Elohim. Remember this scripture. Go back to Yochanan chapter 4 and verse 24. Yochanan 4 and 24, where it says, Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him with what? Spirit and in truth. Here we see the two types of spirits. First, the spiritual essence of the Father, and then the spirit by which we must worship him, bow before him. the Spirit of Truth. I want to go back. This is not in my notes, but before I leave this, in what we just read in First Yochanan, chapter 4. It's not in my notes, but I should have had this in my notes. It says here, go back to First Yochanan, chapter 4, and verse 2. It says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of Elohim. Every spirit that confesseth that Yahshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is of Elohim. And every spirit that confesseth not that Yahshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is not of Elohim." Understand what we are reading here when it says every spirit that confesseth that Yahshua HaMashiach is come in the flesh is of Elohim. Well, this spirit is of Elohim. Why? Because that spirit is teaching us that Yahshua HaMashiach is Yahweh, come in the flesh. It's teaching us that Yahweh of Elohim is come in the flesh. See, a lot of people take this verse and just say, okay, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, so I believe that. But they don't understand the full picture of what is being taught here by the Spirit of Truth. It's not just teaching you that Jesus Christ came. This is teaching you that Yahweh came in the flesh and is of Elohim. This is very important. This is what people miss when they say, okay, yeah. So a lot of times we take this scripture so for granted because we think, and people teach this, okay, if you believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh, died and rose again, well, you've been led by the Spirit of Truth. No. The Spirit of Truth is teaching you here that Yahweh of Elohim came in the flesh. And that's how we know that Spirit is of Elohim. I just wanted to throw that in there because this is a powerful scripture, and I don't think I gave it the true justice that it deserves before we go forth. So I just wanted to say that. So, we read about the spirit of error. So we got the two types of spirits. First, the spiritual essence of the Father, and then the spirit at which we must worship him, the Spirit of Truth. Now, Satan is a created spirit, right? A created spiritual being. Let's read about him. You're very familiar with the scripture. Let's go to Ezekiel 28 and 13 and read about him a little bit. Ezekiel 28 and 13, I'm going to read down through 16. It says four verses. Look at what it says. "Thou hast been in Eden and the garden of Elohim. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." And that implies that he was a musician. And remember, he's the prince of the power of the air. And there is music that we have to be careful with. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of Elohim. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Remember we read last week about the angels and the fire when they show up, and how Elohim is a consuming fire. Moses couldn't look on his face. That was some bright fire. So this anointed cherub, he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created." And understand this. The fire that we're talking about here is so many, I don't know how many times, but greater than our sun. We have to understand this. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Elohim, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." This is Satan. the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, also the father of lies. Now let's go to Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 44. Yochanan chapter 8 and verse 44. Let him verify this for us. Ye are of your father the devil. This is Yochanan. He's talking to the Pharisees here. I mean, Yeshua talking to the Pharisees. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, 1 Yochanan 4 and 6 spoke about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let us reason together. How is the knowledge of good and evil manifested to us? How is the spirit of truth manifested to us? In Yochanan 8:44, it says there is no truth in Satan because he speaks lies. Well, let's revisit this. That's what he does. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. Genesis 3, 9 through 11. Genesis 3, 9 through 11. Where it says, and Yahweh of Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not hear? If we are being led by the Spirit of Truth, these verses alone should have taught every member of the household of faith the identity of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the spirit of error. Just as he did to the Pharisees in the New Covenant, Yahweh is identifying the ultimate liar to Adam. When Adam told Yahweh why he was hiding, what was the very first thing Yahweh said? Who told you that you were naked? Did others in the household of faith not read this? Or are they simply ignoring this to accept the teachings of their individual group leadership? And if it is the latter, they're living in dangerous territory because they are allowing the subtlety of the spirit of error to teach them. After Yahweh asked that question, he asked Adam a second question. Have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat? So it was Yahweh of Elohim who plainly equated Adam being told something with his also eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told Eve a lie. There is no truth in him. His lies are manifested in the words that he and his fellow spirits speak. Contrarily, the spirit of truth guides us in all truth. Now here's where we once again must accept the principle of duality. The spirit of truth is manifested to us in two ways, and understanding these ways is the key to our understanding and walking in the spirit of truth. First, let's remember, Yahweh was the first comforter. He clarified himself through the apostle Yochanan as the word. It is he that gives the word of Elohim to man and woman. Again, the question is, how is this manifested? How does Yahweh provide man and woman with this truth? He was faithful to not leave us in doubt, just as he clarified in the New Covenant the true definition of sin. Let's go to Revelation, read something that we all in this tonight are familiar with. Revelation 1:1 and 1:2. And believe me, I read this to other members of the household of faith, and they just didn't get it. But listen to this, how simple it is. The revelation of Yahshua HaMashiach, which Elohim gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant Yochanan, who bare record of the word of Elohim and of the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach, all things that he saw. Remember when Yahshua told his disciples he had more to tell them when they were able to receive it. He said, this will become clearer when the other comforter is coming to them. This was obviously the apostle Yochanan's primary commission to clarify the mission of the Comforter that was to come. Here we see it in operation. What was the first revelation we are taught by Yochanan's testimony? The Father is obviously the master planner. Yahshua is the word. Yahshua gives this word, which he received from the Father, to his angel, his ministering spirit, who gives it to man. Here is the first side of this duality. Spiritual beings are sent from the Father by the Son to minister unto man his spirit of his truth to mankind. What is the other side? Well, let's go to Yochanan chapter 17, 15 through 17. Yochanan 17, 15 through 17, where it reads, I pray not, we very familiar, we read this a lot, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Yahshua acknowledges in his prayer to the Father that the Father's word is truth. He earlier told us the following. Go back to Yochanan 6 and verses 6 through 65. 663 through 65. Yochanan 663 through 65. Again, verses we read a lot. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you are spirit and are life. I've had some very dear friends of mine quote this to me, but they all only quoted the first part. And this is because I was teaching them about some things in the Old Covenant, about what we got to do, law we got to keep, blah, 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 blah. And they say, oh, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. They never kept reading, though. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and their life. They never read that part. That's because they only heard someone say it. They didn't go read it for themselves. Verse 64, but there are some of you who, that believe not. Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. Remember, he had a lot of disciples at that time. Verse 65, and therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given to him by my Father. So, we now know that the Father's word is truth. We also know that Yahshua speaks the Father's words. These words are spirit and are life. So, we have the full duality principle at work. Angels, which are spirits, are sent to us from Yahweh, one of the two supreme spirits, and also the first comforter to give us the truth of Elohim. The 65th verse, rather, we just read, also provides an interesting backdrop in that this concept of Elohim may not have been understandable to those that lived during and under the Old Covenant. Coming to him by the Father. However, there's still some clarity needed to understand the Comforter Yahshua spoke about to his disciples. Let's revisit something we read earlier. We read Yochanan 14:16. Revisit this. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. These verses have created such a variation of teaching amongst biblical readers, particularly verse 18. Why? Because the principle of duality is not widely taught. Let's see if we can break this down. First Yochanan, chapter 2, verse 1. First Yochanan, chapter 2, and verse 1. First Yochanan. Or First John, if you prefer. Chapter 2, and verse 1. Where is it? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, look what it says. We have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua HaMashiach, the righteous. Now we come to the conclusion of the matter. The apostle who gave clarity to Yahweh and Elohim now gives us clarity on the Comforter. He tells us here that we have an advocate with none other than Yahshua. This word advocate is translated from, guess what? The Greek word parakletos. Yes, it is the same word as comforter, which means advocate as well as intercessor. Yahweh is and always was the comforter and the intercessor. However, we must understand how he and the ultimate comforter works or operates with mankind. When he tells the disciples he will come to them, what is he saying? Is he personally coming back to them prior to the resurrection? How would he comfort them? This has confused many within the household of faith community. He said he would send the Spirit of Truth, which we know consists of his angels, his messengers, and the words they will convey to his followers. This is how he spoke the words of his revelation to the apostle Yochanan. He also said the Spirit of Truth would not speak of himself. So we cannot simply say that Yahshua is the comforter without also recognizing the fuller picture of the comforter principle. Yahweh gave us so much to guide us. Because we know that the Spirit of Truth would not speak of himself, we must accept that this concept is not Yahshua himself, but something or someone else who would guide Yahshua's followers, in all truth about Yahshua by what he or it actually heard from Yahshua. This truth includes the fact that if man and woman are willing to trust in Yahweh's words, he would be our comforter, our intercessor. Yet his words inform us that he would do so through another comforter, another intercessor. Women, remember this example? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and chapter 10. You know, when I understood this principle of the comforter, this is when finally this made sense to me. I read it a million times and it made no sense. Look what it says. For this cause ought the woman to have power in her head because of the angels. What did that mean, because of the angels? It mean nothing. Why does the Apostle Paul exhort the woman to cover her head because of the angels? Isn't it because these angels both comfort and intercede on behalf of all women who walk in the ways of Yahweh, which would include her covering her head during prayers and her prophesying? Just a protocol. But the angels look for it, obviously. Let's look at another prime example, starting in Revelations, 22nd chapter and verse 16. Revelations, 22nd chapter and verse 16. I, Yahshua, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Here Yahshua sent his angel to testify his and the Father's truths. If we live by it, truth is always comforting. Go back to Exodus chapter 20, verse 22. Exodus chapter 20, verse 22. We're going to skip around a little bit. Exodus, and we're almost home. Exodus 20 and 22. And he says, and Yahweh said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. So we see this is Yahweh talking to Moses. Chapter 21 and verse 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Yahweh gives the children of Israel his judgments through Moses. Chapter 23 and verse 20. Chapter 23 of Exodus and verse 20. Chapter 23 of Exodus, verses 20 through 23. Look what he says. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. But my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. I will do this through my angel. Wow. So we see Yahweh operating in the old covenant in the same way Yahshua operated in the new covenant, that is, after he was died and was resurrected. Here he sent his angel before the children of Israel to intercede on Israel's behalf. This angel would intercede for them as long as they were in obedience. They were hard-headed. Go to Isaiah 63 and verse 7. Isaiah 63 and 7. Isaiah 63 and 7. I'm going to read down through verse 12. 7 through 12. Where it says, I will mention the loving kindness of Yahweh, the praises of Yahweh, according to all that Yahweh has bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was what? Their Savior. Yahweh was the Savior of the children of Israel. All he had to do was accept him, obey him. Verse 9, in all their affliction was he afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Well, that's how he saved them, through his angels. And in his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. As the children of Israel were afflicted, Yahweh had pity on them. He was their comforter. He gave them another comforter, his angel, to comfort and intercede for them, saving them, bearing them, and carrying them. Then verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And there's duality right there. Because he is in duality. Because Yahweh turned against them, but he did so through his angel, his Holy Spirit. So they both turned against them to be their enemy and fought against them. Hope we're getting this. However, the children of Israel rebel and vex his Holy Spirit, his angel sent to be their comforter, who then turned to be their enemy. As I just said, so did Yahweh. This is a lesson to each of us from long ago. Now, what about this Moses? Was he an intercessor? Verse 11. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people. Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name? Now in verse 11 it says within him, but just think about this. It is obvious. It obviously should be read within or in the midst of them. Did he put his Holy Spirit? Here Yahweh led the children of Israel with angel, his Holy Spirit, by Moses. We know that Moses consistently interceded for the children of Israel to Yahweh. We should also recognize that Moses was metaphorically elevated to a position, representative of Yeshua. Look at Acts, the third chapter, verses 19 through 22. We're almost home, as I said. Acts, the third chapter, verses 19 through 22, where it says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Makes me think about the atonement here. That your sins may be blotted out. Wow. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh, and he shall send Yeshua HaMashiach, before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which Elohim has spoken by the word of all his holy prophets since the world began. But Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall Yahweh your Elohim raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. The apostle Peter, speaking at the Feast of Weeks, repeats Moses' words from Deuteronomy 18 and 15, where Moses said, Yahweh thy Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me, unto him he shall hearken. So, yes, Moses was an intercessor to the children of Israel in the image of Yahshua, who was to come. And finally, let's remember how the Comforter originally came to the disciples, which is another seemingly mistaught doctrine in the midst of the household of faith. Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Where it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come unto you," and we should know that this is that other comforter, "and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld what? He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. This Holy Spirit here is the comforter that was to be sent, even the Spirit of truth. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 8. And it says, "And when the 50th day was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." Cloven tongues as of fire. Like we read something about that before, huh? "And it set upon each of them." These cloven tongues were angelic beings sent from the Father by Yahshua to intercede for the disciples. Verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's the Spirit giving them utterance. And now the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the word of Yahweh, brought to them by the angelic beings. And as they spoke, something quite phenomenal happened. Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Yehudans, devout men out of every nation on the earth, under heaven rather. Now when this was noised abroad, this the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And now we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. The apostles spoke the word of Elohim by these angelic beings, appearing as cloven tongues, translated their words into all the various languages of the Yehudans attending the Feast of Weeks, who came from various countries. Yet they were all Yehudans, including what we now know included a remnant of the nation of Israel as well. So you had Yehudans there as well as the house of Israel. This was to happen once more when the Apostle Peter and the first Gentile baptized into the church. Cornelius. Go to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. 10:44-46. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter. Well, we're not going to read all of that. Go to Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. One verse there. It says, and Peter says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning." In this verse, we discover the event that occurred with Cornelius happened just as it did with the disciples at the Feast of Weeks. The Comforter was sent to Cornelius as it was sent to the disciples at the Feast of Weeks. We see where the angels intercede on the behalf of Yahshua, his people, Yahweh's people. But also, let's make no doubt about it, Yahweh of the New Covenant, who is also Yahshua of the New Covenant, was and is the Comforter to all those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. To these, he provides another comforter, his Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth. If we're walking in the Spirit and in truth, it is not based on vain, simplistic thoughts. To each of us, any angelic spirit Yahshua sends to us to comfort us or to intercede for us is our comforter, our intercessor. Many are not able to understand this, which is why the Apostle John, Yochanan, followed his words about Yahshua, the advocate with the following. Go to 1 Yochanan again, chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Yochanan 2 and 2, where he says, "And he is the propitiation of our sins, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." This word propitiation is taken from the Greek word philamos, which means atonement. Yahshua made atonement for the whole world. Verse 3, "And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." You've got to keep his commandments. "He has that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him also verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that said he abided in him of himself also to walk, even as he walked." No comments are necessary here. I think you'd agree. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 through 15 to close out tonight. Hebrews 3, 13 through 15. It says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of HaMashiach if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. If we are led by the Spirit of truth, the other comforter, we have heard his voice, beginning with his word given to Moses, the intercessor and human comforter to the children of Israel. However, the Spirit of truth has also enlightened us to the fact that there exists a counterfeit spirit of error, which speaks lies by mixing a little truth to cover the lies. Through the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, we have heard the words of Yahweh and Yahshua. And if we've heard his words, we must not harden our hearts as in provocation, as our ancestors so obviously did. They are examples of foolishness for which their descendants are paying a dear price today in modernity. So, for us today, men and women of the household of faith, the Apostle Yochanan in 1 Yochanan, the 4th chapter, admonished us to test every spirit whether or not it testifies of Yahshua in truth. If it does, it probably is another, is our other comforter. And if so, let us harden not our hearts, no matter what those other spirits which profess not Yahshua, Yahweh of Elohim, seek to convict us on. And regardless of what source they use to convey their message of error and of lies. So, when someone says to you that Yahshua HaMashiach is the Holy Spirit, guess what? Agree with them. And then ask them the following. But are you being led by the other comforter, the Spirit of truth, that he promised that would come from the Father, be sent to us by him, that would speak not of himself, but of Yahshua HaMashiach, based on what he has been told by Elohim? Well, if you haven't, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Shalom, everybody. I pray that this lesson, which is primarily a repeat from 3 years ago with some added comments, based on how we've grown over the years, I hope it was a blessing unto you, because Yahshua is the Comforter. But he sent us another Comforter, and that's how he operates. Are there any questions or comments by anyone this evening. Any question or any thoughts by anybody? Anything you want to share about the lesson?
It's Marcia. I don't know if I remember this from 3 years ago, but I thought it was a great lesson and very timely, particularly, you know, in the world that we currently live in. And I think, you know, it's just, you know, when you read that scripture, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. It was so clear, you know, that he was there from the beginning. And even though he, you know, physically left us, he didn't leave us comfortless. You know, he left us with his words, his angels to guide us, you know, so very timely.
Yeah. But, Marcia, I tell you, I just don't know how there are other members of the household of faith that don't see it. I just don't know. But the words are very clear, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think the key is perhaps in future conversations with people, I'm just going to stress the fact that this another comforter who will not speak of himself. If they don't get it after that, I don't know what else to say. No. But, yeah, I thought it was timely, too. We did this one early in the process, and obviously I added a lot of – I don't know if I added additional scriptures. I may have. But obviously some of my commentary is upgraded based upon us continuing to grow. But as we continue to grow, we just see how we're learning more of things that we have learned over the years and long before we started this Bible study. And so, you know, what amazes me, Marcia, is how the Word just continually proves itself as we continue. There was something else I read tonight. I forgot what it was, but that just hit me like a, oh, what was that scripture? It had to do with, remember I made a comment about atonement? It had to do with something they said about our sin. Anybody remember that one?
And,
where did I see that?
Oh, and he is the propitiation of for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. 1 John 2?
No. That's not it.
Okay.
It was one where...
when he was saying you remove your sin far from you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What was that one? Because I like the way it read, Gary. Oh, here it is. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out.
Blotted out, okay, yeah.
Blotted out. Destroy it. Because we know in other scriptures it says, once you are forgiven, those sins will be remembered no more. See, we got people so hung up on where the sin is going to be taken. They're going to be blotted out. They can't go nowhere. It's a metaphor, people. But, ooh, I got to add this to my lesson on atonement. Oh, wow. That's what I was talking about, Marcia. It continues. If you learn it in truth, you will continually see things that prove the truth that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to assume that right now, in getting this further understanding on that, I'm being led by the Spirit of Truth on this. Because I'm reading it in the book. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. He's not leaving us comfortless. He's there with us, but he's telling us simply the protocol. You remember how when we first started out, we emphasized protocols?
Mm-hmm.
Protocols. The thing with the woman and the head covering.
Head covering.
Because of the angel. It's a protocol. And obviously protocols are important to Yahweh, to Yahshua. It's a protocol.
It's a sign of obedience too. You know,
Of course it is. And if we make it up in our mind that, no, I ain't going to do all that. You know, I'm going to do this, but I ain't going to do all that. I don't think I need to do all of that. Well, guess what? you're not walking in obedience, are you?
Mm-hmm.
And once you start doing that, you open yourself up to all that other stuff, and we've seen it from too many people. Too many people. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Marcia. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other thoughts by anybody? Or even you, Marcia, if you've got more thoughts, you're doing wonderfully. Thanks, Brother Gary. Brother Gary, I don't know if I told you, but when I was getting the scriptures ready to send to all of you all, I fell asleep about five times. I was wore out. I fell asleep about five times. I finally got myself together to get them together to send to everybody. But I was really wore out. I told Michelle, I hope I can last through this lesson. I was really wore out. I got up this morning probably about 5:30. I told my wife I cut the grass at 7. I woke the whole community up at 7 o'clock. But I wanted to get some things accomplished. I did get most of it accomplished, but I probably should have taken a nap, but I just couldn't do it. But it tried to hit me. It really tried to hit me. So, hey, everybody, I'm very thankful I made it through this lesson. I wasn't sure I could. So I did, and happy that it obviously has blessed some of us. Anybody else with any comment tonight? What do you all think about my last statement? My very last statement where I said, when somebody come to you and say that you, well, they're going to say Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. I said, agree with them. Yeah, he is. But then ask them, are you being led by the other comforter? That's going to mess them up.
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think about that one? Well, I got two yups from the ladies.
That's what Jesus
thought
about, the other comforter,
which
they don't know about. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. The other comforter. It's right there in the book, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is right there in the book. All they got to do is read it. Hey, Brother Chris, how you doing, man? I'm sorry, Marcia, were you about to say something else?
No, I was just agreeing with them. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, Brother Crunch, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. Hello, everyone.
You sound a little tired.
Okay.
I am.
I understand.
Yesterday wore me out.
Oh, okay. Okay, you weren't down there marching for Christopher Columbus, were you?
I did ride my bike yesterday. I rode 20 miles.
20 miles?
Yeah, 20 miles. And then when I came home and ate, I put together, we ordered a Bowflex bike, stationary bike. So I put that together.
You did? You got the Bowflex bike. Okay. Okay. You have to tell me one day how you like it. Not right now. Tell me later.
Yeah, I've been using it.
After you've used it for a little while, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Will do.
Yeah, that's cool. I was downtown Chicago for the first time in a long time. I took Metro for the first time in over a year. Went down to see my eye doctor that I like. She always gave a very good exam, and some of these other people I've had giving me exams over the years, I'm just not comfortable with them. So I went back to this one down on Michigan Avenue, and she was telling me how they tore her windows. And, you know, for Christopher and Marcia in particular, do you all remember Central camera shop.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Did y'all know that they burned it to the ground?
Yep.
I did not know that. They burned it to the ground. And she was saying
What's the name of the place?
Central Camera Shop, right down Wabash. You pass by it, right down by Kramer's.
Oh, okay.
You know that camera shop that right before
yeah.
you get to Kramer's? Yeah. They,
mm-hmm.
they when they were doing the ride, they burned it to the ground.
Wow.
Burned it to the ground. And she was telling me how many businesses along, you know, you all don't work over that way no more, Marcia, so you wouldn't see it because you're going to a different part of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
But she said they burned it to the ground. Now, she said she just got her window replaced, and when she saw what happened last weekend, she said she was just going to go on board up because maybe she won't now that the statue has been removed by the mayor, so maybe she won't. Yeah, it's a mess going on right now. Let me throw something else out there to you guys. I think it was Vanciel sent me a video, and the video was of a European lady talking about the vaccine that's coming. And apparently, she's done a lot of research into it, and she believes that the edict is going to come down before the end of the year that everybody got to take it. And she was just naming all the stuff that's in the vaccine, and it was crummy. And she was also talking about what her research has said the vaccine would do to you, and that you've heard about the chip, right, that now what country? Is it Sweden, I think it is, that everybody has the chip in Sweden, and you have to have the chip just to do basic transactions, like go to the ATM. You got to have this chip that's implanted in you in order to move your money about, get money. Well, they don't have paper. I don't think they have paperless money anymore. So she was saying that the vaccine is going to incorporate all of that. And she believes that it's coming sooner or later, and she's basically saying she's not going to do it. And she's telling all true Christians they shouldn't do it because she took it to another level. She said if you do this, she said Yahshua won't recognize you. But I understand kind of what she's saying, but I don't know if I want to go to that kind of extreme. But a lot of what she said was quite interesting. I just listened to it today, actually. But Vanciel had sent it to me a few days ago. But it was a very interesting. She sounded like she had done some research. Basically, what she's also saying is that they are putting this vaccine is going to contain a portion of it is going to be from, like, unborn babies' fetuses. And it was very gross, to be very honest with you.
Yeah,
rat.
I heard that.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of gross. And she's saying all of this is going to be, and if when it goes into your body, she said it's going to attach itself to your cells, and it's going to take over the cells. And technically, you won't be yourself. That was pretty scary stuff. That's gonna make me have to do my own research on it to see if that's mm-hmm. really what's going on. But I don't plan on taking the vaccine anyway. They'd have to force it on me. That's just me. But I've always had that mindset on vaccines. Christopher, I don't know how much you've heard about it in specific, but that's pretty deep. And she thinks it's going to come down before the end of the year. If you look at what's going on right now in the world, it's just some crummy stuff going on. There's some fighting going on between China and India that nobody's talking about. You have two. Quite a few things going on. So, if we start hearing about this forced vaccine, we probably know that some things are about to go down. Because look what we just studied tonight about our comforter. Well, number one, we got to have faith that our comforter is not going to leave us alone during this time. We also got to have the faith that our comforter is going to be there to intercede for us. So we have to have the faith. Is that making sense to everybody? That don't make no sense to everybody.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Basically, what I'm saying is the same thing with Israel was the same thing now. We need protection. We need protection. And so we have to have the faith in what we just read tonight. Actually, Marcia, you're absolutely right. The more I think about it, this is a timely lesson, because maybe we need to be reminded of the comforter, who is our comforter, who is the true comforter, because Christ HaMashiach is the true comforter, but he's given us this other comforter, just like we talked about the women with the head covering, the angels. Well, those angels are the women's comforters. So we got to have the faith to believe that all that's going to come down will be protected, but that also means, it's like Marcia said, we got to continue to walk in obedience. Maybe you're absolutely right, Marcia. I did not realize just how timely this lesson might have been. I was kind of wore out. A lot of things came at me this week, and I knew I couldn't do a new one. I had something I wanted to work on. I just didn't have the time. So I prayed about it, and I sought something from the past that I thought would be relevant, and this one kind of jumped out at me. Now I see why it jumped out at me. It is. I'll probably add a few things to it before I put it on the website tomorrow, the update of it. But yeah. Anyway, that's me. I've talked enough. Anybody got any other thoughts about anything tonight before we close out?
So earlier this week, I was at the barber shop getting a haircut, and Congressman Rush was there. And he was getting his hair cut. I was in the chair before he was in the chair. He was getting his hair cut by the owner of the shop. So when he came in, my barber is kind of an antagonistic type person. He likes to stir the pot and do different things and say different things. So he was asking him about, you know, how are we going to, you know, solve the problems that we were having in the community. And to my surprise, he started talking book. And he was saying that we have to be obedient.
That's what Bob Russ said?
Yeah, which is very surprising to me. So I'm just kind of listening. I'm not really saying a whole lot. And he was quoting, you know, hey, we got to keep commandments, you gotta follow God's word. I'm thinking like, oh, okay. So he's like, you know, some of these things I didn't know, you know, but now that I know them, you know, this is what we need to do.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So
okay.
then he started talking about the vaccine. My barber started talking about the corona.
So
and so the virus and the vaccine and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he started asking him some questions, but he never answered anything. And I just said under my breath to him, I said, you know, he wanted the co-sponsors of the vaccination bit. Did y'all know that? He didn't say anything, and I'm like, another dude that wanted the sponsors of. He's the co-sponsor of vaccination bill. It was a friend of mine's mom used to go to Israel with God, and I hadn't seen her in a while. And she sent me a, I finally got in contact with her, reconnected, and she sent me a link to somebody who did a video post, and he was just, you know, calling out Bobby Rush as being one of the co-sponsors of one of these vaccination deals. So I found it kind of ironic that he would be asking some of these questions, not knowing, you know, and having done his background on it. And then the other thing that I thought was kind of ironic is the owner of the barbershop is a preacher, and he likes to try to impress people in there. But when I come in there, he'd be trying to, like, kind of impress me, but trying to act like he knows some stuff. But then I just break it down and be like, man, this stuff in the book. Why are you talking about this or that? And it's in the book. So he went into some stuff. Well, how about, you know, a bunch of us get together. We can talk, come up with some ideas, and then present it to the congressman, and we can get some stuff done. And the congressman told him, he said, that's the easy part, doing all of that. He said, you ain't really putting no, like, no, you know, work behind it. You're just coming up with some stuff and you pass it off for me to do. But he said, you know, you got to be involved with implementing stuff as well. So he kind of laughed about it and kind of, you know. But I told him, I said, all we need to do is just bring somebody in and they can write down these ideas right now, because I've been talking about it for the longest. So, but yeah, that was my moment this week. And I said I was going to post about it, but it's just our people, we got the zeal, but it ain't according to knowledge. And then, you know, I still remember how Bobby Rush left Sister Delphine jammed up with that not-for-profit that he was over, and, you know, had her endure some issues with the Treasury because of decisions and things that he told her to do that weren't necessarily correct. So, not to mention, you know, his involvement or his relationship with Penny, too. So, you know, all these things I know while I'm sitting there, and, you know, I got introduced to him, you know, but it's just like, you know, some people know certain things, and then some people know a little bit. So,
that is true. That's very true. That's across the board, Brother Chris.
Yeah.
It is across the board with us, unfortunately, you know, and just like the thing we were talking about, Black Lives Matter, you know, people don't know the total scope of the agenda. And even when they're told of the total scope of the agenda, they act like it doesn't really matter. You know something, let me ask you, Gary and Marsha, Michelle just stepped out of the room for a second. But I heard out at my eye doctor, and an Oriental young lady came in, and it's a small office there. So I overheard her telling the doctor, I was getting the, you know, that test where they had blind you. And I was waiting on that to take effect. And so she was dealing with this other young lady. So I guess she was going on vacation, a young lady, and she's saying, talk about her partner. Now, I, generally speaking, when I've heard females talking about their partner, for the most part, it appears to have been talking about another female. But in this situation, I was actually talking about a male partner, not necessarily a husband, though. And then I heard somebody on the radio or somewhere basically saying the same thing about their partner. Have you all detected that a lot of people that, let's say, they're shacking or that kind of thing, or they're calling them their partner rather than their husband. Have you all heard anything like that?
No.
Okay. You, Marcia?
Me either. No.
Okay. It's the first time I caught it, but I heard it twice this week. And it just seemed like it's, like I said, I generally call heard females when they're talking about another female, they will call them their partner. I've heard that before. And it made me think that this is a possibly a new phenomenon that's coming up. And by designating this person that you might be with who is not your spouse, your partner, you're trying to give it legitimacy. Does that make any sense to everybody?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things, as we know, going on in the world right now that are outside of Elohim's realm that everybody's trying to make it legitimate. And that's a part of what Black Lives Matter is attempting to do within their, even as they fight black lies, but they're also trying to introduce and normalize a very ungodly thing. And so it just made it kind of interesting when I heard that this week, and I heard her say, yeah, my partner this and my partner that. And she was actually talking about a guy. I said, huh, that's interesting. She's calling the guy her partner. And then I heard, like I said, I heard somebody on the news, or I don't know if it was TV or radio, but someone else was basically using the same language talking about the male in their life. And I'm like, why are they calling this person their partner? So that was the first time I had heard it, and maybe it signified to me it's probably something new, but we'll see how it starts to grow in the near future. But it's just something I heard this week, and I want to see if anybody else heard the same thing. But very interesting, very interesting.
I wanted to add to what you were saying about Black Lives Matter. So I got a brother that I know. He's a retired police officer, and he's always PPD, and he's always chiming in on, you know, the violence in Chicago and, you know, against the mayor, et cetera. But he's been chiming in on Black Lives Matter, which I agree with, and he's opened my eyes a little bit more to, you know, their agenda. And what he pointed, did a post or a video that he sent out last couple of days, and it basically said that they inquired to the Black Lives Matter group organization what their agenda was as it pertained to black-on-black violence in the neighborhood and that's going on around the country. And they said their only focus was on police brutality against black people. So they're getting all this money as a result of the riots, protests, and et cetera. And then they turn it around and, I've been watching the NBA the last 2 days. They started to have these scrimmages, preseason games, et cetera, whatever you want to call them. They started to do these Black Lives Matter commercials. And so you can see it's totally manifested in the commercial. They'll show George Floyd, they'll show Breonna Taylor, and a couple other people. But then in between them doing a clip of that, throughout this commercial, they're pushing this gay stuff, lesbian stuff, all this other stuff. And so it's diluting the message, but their intended message is manifesting itself to be just what it is. They push it for all these other groups, and they're utilizing the pain and struggle of the Floyd, the whoever else, as the front for their agenda, which they pushing real hard these commercials. So I've seen them on the NBA channel in between, you know, the games and stuff. And it's their whole agenda is being just put out there to anybody who's been kind of paying attention to them or studying them for any length of time.
I haven't even keeping up with what's going on with the sports world, all that. I was somewhere, I'm getting some bar stools reupholstered, and I had to go to a place in Orleans, and the guy there was talking about, asked me was I into baseball, and he was telling me about the fact that the baseball season is starting back, and I hadn't been keeping up with any of that late. I've just been too busy with other things, so. But Chris, I am not surprised. It's interesting. This phenomena is happening at this time. You got this virus going on, and you got the riots going on. They have not shut down. You notice it ain't just about George Floyd no more. Now we're talking about this thing that just happened. That's got, you know, vendors concerned downtown on Michigan Avenue was about the Christopher Columbus statue, and which the mayor took down. She didn't say permanently, I guess, but she took it down overnight. And they called him on public radio. They were calling it her Meg Field moment. You know how daily overnight tore up Meg Field.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, this is the current mayor's Meg Field moment because she took down the statue overnight. And apparently some more details are coming out, not from Black Lives Matter, but these were Europeans that I was listening to on radio. They were talking about some of the evil things that Christopher Columbus was involved in. And basically saying he shouldn't have been elevated to this level of what he's been elevated to in the first place. These were Europeans talking, and I found that interesting, you know, because I haven't done a detailed study on Christopher Columbus. I don't know too much about him. I know he came to Jamaica, didn't he, Gary?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, they got a spot in Jamaica. I know that they designated it as the spot where he supposedly came to. But he never really came to the United States. So I'm always wondered why they putting up statues of him.
Try to find a pretty permanency. The only problem is you can't be tanning your hair. You can't be wetting up your hair a whole lot. It has to be a big deal.
Oh, that's Marcia talking to her daughter. Tell her, say hi, Marcia.
Oh. Maisha Donald says hi. She has on headphones. She's talking about her hair.
Okay. Well, when she has a moment, just tell her Donnie said hello. This thing is really getting crazy, and so you know, they're concentrating on Columbus, and actually the evil that the Europeans were talking about were not necessarily, I can't remember, but I don't think they were racially. It could, I can't remember. All I know is they were talking about it, and they came up with a list of, but they were interviewing somebody. They said, well, what do you think about this? And they said, well, there's a lady, and she said, well, he wasn't nothing that we should have been elevating to that level in the first place. Because she said he was full of crap. That's the way she put it. And so I thought that was interesting. But like I said, I haven't done any homework on it. But it's interesting to me that Black Lives Matter, though, but they were the ones that was out there doing it. But so they turned, okay, you're talking about the Floyd thing and all that kind of thing. So now you turn towards statues, Christopher Columbus statues, blah, 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 blah. And it's got to make you wonder, okay, what does that statue have to do with Black Lives Matters? seemed to me, Chris, that now they have reached such a level of strength that they're going to go after anything because they think they got a little power now. And behind the whole concept is the same concept that happened. This was probably this is before I came to Washington, Pippin and McKeever. This is when I worked with Inner City Foods. We owned all the Burger Kings on the South Side, and we were housed next door to the Chicago Defenders, so we were very close to them in those days. And that, and the Defender were the ones, are the ones that run the Bud Billiken, at least they used to. And I remember way back when the gay community petitioned to become a part of the Bud Billiken parade. I'm like, why do you want to be in a kid's parade? Well, we know now, to normalize it. About the same time, I overheard a discussion on public TV, about this organization called NOW, National Organization of Women, and where this one European and young black woman were talking to an older black woman. I think I might have mentioned this to you guys before, where they were pushing NOW on black women. And the older black woman finally said, listen, she talked to the European. She said, you know and I know that NOW is just a front for gay and lesbian rights. And the European didn't back off. She said, well, we know that black community is all for gay and lesbian rights. So they've been pushing this agenda on us to make it normal, and that's why they wanted to be in that kid parade. So now guess what? It's worked. Now they got a black group that's with subtlety is attached themselves to a legitimate thing going on in our community. But at the same time, Chris, as you're saying, looking at these other things, how they talk about one thing, but they're slipping in on you. And before you know it, you're hit. My wife was she had fallen asleep, and a picture came. I don't know what station she had been on. I know she had been watching a black movie. But all of a sudden, something came on. It was gross as I don't know what. And I watched it for a few seconds, and I don't know what it was. I don't plan on, whatever it was, I don't plan on seeing it again. But it was some picture. But there was, maybe it was about a club or something. And you know, it was a lot. But they built up they've got a sitcom now about it. And there was a lot of lap dancing going on, blah, blah, blah. In essence, and at the same time, there was transgender people as a part of this. And it was all about money. And it's interesting to me that you got this plethora of attention at Hollywood on the black community to portray the black community as this something, 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 something. And remember, we were talking about before that thing that obviously is going viral now with black female about pegging their men. We've been taken for a ride, people, and the ride is taking us far away from our comforter. I'm bringing it back home now, far away from our comforter. And it could be, I don't know, but as a community, we might be gone too far. We might have gone too far. I don't know if it can, as a community, as a whole, can come back from this. Because apparently those who are involved, they're loving what they do. They think they're doing the right thing. And so as a community, it may not have a comforter working for it right now. And of course, we know the scriptures. We know that, you know, the return of Israel truly will not happen until Christ's return anyway. And we also have to go back and remember, we already been told that Israel is going to get hit harder than anything else. So we're seeing it now. We're already getting hit. Maybe we don't see that as a part of the hit. I do. Seeing some of this craziness that's going on within our community now, that is a hit upon us. And Satan's got his hand on us big time. And so, Marsha, maybe tonight's lesson wasn't more timely than I thought it was. You know, I Maybe it was, you know. I know this. I am more prepared now to deal with other members of the household of faith on this subject than I ever before. And I've been growing in it, but I think, you know, just in going back and redoing this lesson, it just strengthens where I was. And so I hope and pray that, you know, there are some in this community that we are want to be a part of that are willing to listen, because it's straightforward stuff in the book. The people out there, Chris, in the barbershops and all them other places, I don't know if they're prepared to listen to anything. You have to try, and I get that part. But I don't know if there should be a lot of expectations. I've talked to some beautiful people over the years and just simple things, and they look at me like, I don't know about that, Donald, you know. And apparently they haven't done anything on their own. And these are absolutely beautiful people. But it's just not there for them. And now we know some things that, you know, all of us on this line, we have relationships with people with this congregation, that congregation, that the all-inclusiveness of the book is just not being heard and taught, and that's a problem. That's a problem. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Great comments, Chris. Great comments from everybody tonight. The person that lost her daughter, her name is Dovella. She's a good sister. She's been in the household of faith for a long, long time. Very open-minded sister. That Bible study I told you guys that I was a part of at one point in time was out of New York, where they do a study 6 nights a week. She was on that as well. Very dedicated woman. So it's a sad loss. That was her daughter. Her daughter, I think, was 58 or something like that. So she was up in age, but I don't know. I've heard somebody say diabetes may have been a reason for the amputation. I don't know, but obviously the pain was too much, and maybe she went into shock or something. I don't know, but, you know. I told my wife, it made me think about the senator. What's the senator's name that lost both her legs in the war? Anybody know?
Bobby Duckworth.
Matter of fact, is she from Illinois?
Yeah,
okay, Tammy Duckworth. You know, we think about her and we hear about her legs being blown off, but we don't think about what she had to go through. And I think just thinking about Dovella, when I talked to Dovella and she was telling me how her daughter was screaming in pain, blah, 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 and all these things. And tonight I was talking to my wife about it, and I was just thinking about Tammy Duckworth. You see her smiling and going about her business as a senator, but think about the fight that she had to go through to get to this point. We don't think about that. Something to think about. How blessed we truly are, you know? Something to think about, people. Anyway, that's it for me. Anybody else have anything else they want to talk about? I still hadn't... It's fairly definitive that Michelle and I are not going to Jamaica, but the deadline is actually the 31st for us to get on that good deal. But we've pretty much made the decision, but we are not. I haven't put a lot of time into thinking about it in the last week. My project is pretty much under control now, and so starting next week, I should start being able to freed up to start looking at some other things, and I'll get caught up on a couple of spiritual articles I want to do. I want to update atonement and get caught up. I'm about 5 lessons behind posting to the website. I'm trying to keep it current, but there's about 5 that I need to go back and put to the website. I've set it up for them, but I take them one by one. But I will start giving feasts some thoughts as well. I just want to encourage everybody, because we're getting closer to the end time. And Marcia, you mentioned the commandments. And I want everybody to just be open and true to yourselves about, and that's what, I think we did a lesson, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. Chris mentioned it in some comments last week, I think it was. But we all got some things we need to do that mid-year check on. And are we doing all that we should be, well, all that we are commanded to do? Are we doing it? And that's the question of the day. So I pray that everybody is really thinking about this, praying about it, and asking for guidance on it. And that is it for me, people. Is there any other comment by anybody else before we close out tonight? I pray that everybody will have a wonderful Sabbath. I know I tried to watch the Israel God. Something happened in the beginning, so I missed the choir. I don't think did any of y'all see the choir last week on the Israel God?
Yeah, it came in a little late. But I did see the ending parts of it, but it didn't start out, and then my connection was kind of jacked up. So
okay, yeah, I knew something had to happen because I couldn't get on is what happened. I couldn't get on. Then when it finally came on, he was preaching, and I listened for a little bit, and I had to leave him because he started talking this. You know, it's certain things now. I noticed that he's just repeating over and over and over and over and over again. I guess he says I'm gonna say it so much that they just gonna believe what I'm saying. Well, so be it. I just had to turn it loose, but I do still love watching their choir. So that's all I was looking for. I hate I missed them. But if there's no other comment tonight, thanks everybody for being on once again, and a hearty bless up to you each. And if there is no other comment, let us once again close out with the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. So be it. So be it. Marsha, don't leave just yet. I want to ask you something. I've been meaning to ask you for a while. Let me shut
okay.
you.